how does God speak to us? And we're going to look at the way God speaks through His Word, the way God speaks through other people, and so the prophetic, that kind of thing. And then today I just want to touch a little bit on the voice of God, how God speaks to us with His voice. Are you ready? You ready to hear the voice of God? I wonder what you think it might sound like. Did someone say scary? Morgan Freeman. Yeah. Possibly. So yeah, I want to have a look at that today. And I believe that God has got some things He wants to encourage us with in that journey. I'm just going to read to you out of 1 Kings 19. It's a familiar text. And it's around the story of Elijah. And I just want you to grab hold of this, because I think sometimes our idea about the voice of God is a little bit kind of skew-iff. And sometimes I think there is an expectation that when we hear the voice of God, it will be this big, loud, booming, thunderous voice from afar. Verse 11, and he said, "Go and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" I don't know if any of you have ever been in that place where you really want to hear God's voice. Anyone? Like, I mean, not just kind of like the little promptings that you might get, or kind of, you know, through reading His Word or getting, but when you want Him to say something out loud. Is it just me? You know, I remember about 10 years ago, I was down at a friend's farm, Kim and Kelvin's farm, actually, down at Weymouth Farm in Nowra, and I was there on my own on a spiritual retreat. And I remember I was lying on the grass in the paddock, and I was just, you know, chilling out, and praying and, you know, worshiping, and I went, "Okay, God, I want the miracle. I want the big voice." Or I want, because there's a few cows around, one of them is called Stevie. Well, he used the donkey to talk. So I'm not lying to you. This is absolutely true. I'm asking God, get the cow to come over and say something. Well, because you kind of, that would be cool, wouldn't it? Like Mr. Ed.
"Hello, I'm Mr. Ed, the talking horse."
And probably no one remembers that. Well, of course we do. You're, you know, my era, aren't you, Ruthie? Those in their early 40s. So I was praying, and my prayers were kind of desperate. It was like, "God, I need this. I need you to speak to me." Like, you know, not just, I want to hear it. And I was expectant. You know, I thought, okay, I've got faith to believe. I'm watching the cow. I'm eyeballing him. And there was part of me that's going, this is going to happen. And the cow walked toward me. And I'm thinking, yeah, God, bring it on. I'm up for this. Whatever you want to say, use the cow, that's fine. And the cow got a bit closer and went, "Meh." "Was that you, God?" what do you mean by that? It wasn't the cow. So I laid there, and probably for about 3.5 hours. And after about 3 hours, my hunger and desire to hear the booming, audible voice of God turned to frustration. And then I started to get angry. Why don't you talk to me? God, who do you think you are anyway? You know, I did. I started to get frustrated. I was desperate to hear the voice of God. You know, I wanted God to tell me something. Anything. And I sort of got frustrated. Well, okay. That's that then. Went back inside, make some dinner or whatever I was doing. Sat down. And I remember this kind of really strong feeling that I missed the voice of God because I was looking for and listening for the wrong thing. You know, I was so framed by my agenda that God was speaking to me that whole 3.5 hours and I didn't hear it. And it really challenged me. And I feel like when I look back at that time, I missed a moment when God was speaking and I didn't hear it because I was focused on what I wanted, not what God wanted. You know, it's interesting because when you look in the New Testament, there's only 2 times where God speaks audibly to Jesus. Only 2 times where people actually hear the audible voice of God. One is when he gets baptized. What does God say? That's right. Here's my son. So he speaks audibly and people hear him. And then there's another time in the garden where he speaks. But all the rest of the time, there's no recording of this kind of audible voice from above. As I was thinking about all of that this week, another thing that came into my mind was this idea that, you know, sometimes, I don't know, has anyone ever like prayed for a sign? God, give me a sign. I need a sign. And I reckon sometimes we can be a little bit like Steve Martin from A Man with Two Brains. It's one of my favorite comedy movies. I don't know. It's a bit kind of out there, old. I'm going to show you this little clip from The Man with Two Brains, Steve Martin. Sometimes I reckon we can be a little bit like Steve Martin when we pray to God and ask for a sign. Thanks.
Rebecca, if there's anything wrong with my feelings for Dolores, just give me a sign.
No, 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 no,
no. Just any kind of sign. I'll keep on the lookout for it. Meanwhile, I'll just put you in the closet.
You know, sometimes I think when we're kind of, you know, we're at that, give me a sign. And God's like giving us sign after sign after sign, and we're just standing there. And when it's all over, it's like, well, yeah, well, any sign will do. Because we don't hear what doesn't line up with what we want to hear. We have selective hearing even when it comes to God. Because we have this agenda, we have this idea of the kind of thing or the thing that we want to hear from God, and if it's outside of that, It's so easy for us to not hear it and block it out because it doesn't fit with our agenda. In the same way as I'm lying in the paddock at the farm, I had this idea of what it would be like to literally hear the voice of God. And because what happened didn't align with what I was looking to happen, I missed the voice of God. I read this quote, and we had an interesting conversation around this in our life group this week. And it goes like this: when we talk to God, we call it prayer. But when God speaks to us, we call it strange, supernatural mysteries of the mind, or something like that. When we talk to God, we call it prayer. But when God speaks to us, it's something else. What is it? The idea of the conversation is two-way, right? Could you imagine how successful my relationship with Jen would be if I never heard her speak? You know, that selective hearing, which I'm sure she'll tell you sometimes I have. Well, she's saying stuff to me and I'm not hearing it. I've tuned out. I don't think the relationship would be that successful. And I had this incredible desire to see us as a faith community engaged in the conversation with God. And the conversation is two-way. Yes, it's us speaking, but it's also God speaking to us. It's a two-way conversation. But so often, this is what I hear. The idea and reality of God talking to us sits in this, not so often, if at all, supernaturally even crazy framework of our spirituality. There's us talking to God, that's normal. And then there's God talking to us, that's supernatural. Would you agree that that's often the framework by which people have around hearing the voice of God? I don't know where you sit with that. I don't know what your thoughts would be. That yes, you can talk to God, but hearing God speak to you, that's kind of a bit out there, right? So talking to God's natural, listening and hearing God is supernatural. Well, I disagree. I believe hearing God needs to be natural. I believe it needs to be a natural part of our spirituality, not a supernatural one-off every now and then thing that we engage in. So I think we need to reframe our idea about the conversation. That hearing God speak to us is natural. It's a natural part of my relationship with God in the same way that hearing my wife speak to me is a natural part of my relationship with her. And that's the challenge. You know, I remember talking to an atheist friend of mine. Yes, I mix with them. And we were talking about this whole hearing God thing. And he said, so you hear God speak? And I went, yes, I do. What, like all the time? Like, yes, I do. He thinks I'm an idiot. He said, do you know that like 30 or 40 years ago, you would be in an asylum or a straitjacket if you admitted that in public? So people can't understand the concept, and that's why I think we put it in this supernaturally weirdo place. You know the other reason we do it? Well, I know for me, the reason I do it is because I've had people tell me, God told me. Has anyone else had that? You know, God told me, and then what they tell you, you're sitting there going, oh, no, he didn't. No way in the world did God tell you that. I mean, that's one. But then you've had other people, like, you'd like, you might be having a bit of kind of conflict or disagreement, and then they pull out the, but God told me. Well, how can I argue with God? It's like the little one-liner that just shuts down the argument. All right, you win. Because God told me that I was right and you're wrong. That's why we put hearing the voice of God into this kind of little box that sort of sits over here sometimes. Well, you know, we're a little bit... we're not sure whether we want to go there. But partly because sometimes I think we're a little bit scared of what we might hear. I know I have been in the past. So I want to give you four things that I think we need to do or be to hear the voice of God. This is not prescriptive, by the way. So this is not, if you do these four things, I promise a 30-day money-back guarantee that you will hear the voice of God. So this is not prescriptive. These are my ideas in how I approach. And can I just say to you that this is how it kind of works for me. That's all. And I always hear the voice of God. Now, people are looking at me like I just said something weird. Why are you doing that? Am I weird? Am I making a claim that I shouldn't make? Oh my gosh, how spiritual is Pastor Brad? He always hears the voice of God. No. It's normal. It's a natural part of our any relationship, isn't it? Does the Bible say we have a personal, intimate relationship with God? So it's a natural part of that relationship to hear God. For me to talk to God, for me to hang out with God. Now, this hasn't always been my experience because of a whole bunch of issues and beliefs and blockages and things I thought that were just baloney. But more and more, this is my experience. So I shouldn't use the word always because that's probably a lie. But mostly, if I take the time to invest in my relationship with God, I hear God's voice. So these are the things. The first thing is this, be still. You know, we can't really expect to hear the voice of God in the clutter of our world. I mean, God can speak above that, but if you read through Scripture in the New Testament and often in the Old Testament, God's voice is that still, small, quiet voice that I think God uses all the time. But everything's so noisy around us that we don't hear it. Or we're looking for God's voice in the earthquake or the wind or the fire, and it's in the whisper. You know, Psalm tells us, be still and know that I am God. And yet, in our culture, we are determined to believe that we can know God in our clutter and busyness. Simplify, declutter faith is all about getting rid of the noise of life so that we can hear. So that we can be still and know that He is God. Now, as I said, this is not prescriptive, so that does not mean that God won't speak in the clutter. But I tell you from my experience, it's way harder to hear what God has to say in the busyness, in the clutter, in the noise, in the agendas, in my to-do lists, than it is when I am consistent and intentional about stepping back from the noise so I can hear God. It's much harder to tune in to the voice of God when we are consumed by the clutter around our world. So we have to be intentional about being still. I mean, one of the reasons that we do these retreats that the boys or lads are on this weekend is to create space for them to be still. Because it's difficult to do that. And sometimes we don't get permission to do that. And sometimes when you have small kids, it's hard to do that. I think as husbands and wives or friends and family, we need to be encouraging and giving permission to our partners, our friends, to be still. It's actually okay to not have to tick the boxes this weekend or for the next 2 hours or whatever it is you need. Just go and be with God, because ultimately that's not just going to benefit them, it's going to benefit you and your family and God's church. And when you do that, when you give permission for your partner or your husband or your wife or whatever, whoever, to go and just, okay, I'm giving you 2 to 3 hours of no responsibility. Just go and be with God. Don't write it up on a chart. You owe me one. Not everything should be a competition. Yeah? Don't keep score. I could say more about that, but I think you get what I'm saying. The second thing I would say is this. Be expectant. Do you really want to hear the voice of God? Because I think sometimes we have this fear about what it might be like, what God might say. And the reality is that the conversations that I have with people about this idea is that so often their view of what God might say is connected to the view of what their real dad might say, to their earthly father, or to their earthly experiences with authority, men particularly in authority. And that's a cultural thing. And so the fear that we create around, you know what, it's actually much, I'll just read the Bible and, you know, I'll take some nice stuff out of that. And if my friend's got something nice and encouraging to say that God kind of, you know, channels through to them, then I'll take that stuff as well. But, the voice of God, like, what if God says blah, 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 blah? What if God is, like, mean to me? What if God says something that makes me feel bad and shameful and guilty and horrible? Well, can I just tell you this? God's voice will always be loving. It will always be empowering. It will always be gentle and kind. And it will always be life-giving. I am not saying that God might not say, this isn't real good. Well, you need to fix this up in your life. But God will never do that in a way that will shame you. Ever. We may shame ourselves, but God would never do that. Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. His voice will never shame you. His voice will never make you feel inadequate. His voice will never make you feel rejected and not good enough. His voice will never make you want to shrink back and be nothing. Ever. And if that's the voice you hear, it's not God. It's either your own voice, your self-talk, or it's the enemy. If God's voice is not loving and empowering and gentle and kind and life-giving, it's not God. I'm not saying God's voice might be correctional, yes. It might have some words to say, but you don't need to fear that those words will not empower you to be all that God has called and created you to be. Because that is God's heart. Always, no exception. And He won't do that through other people either. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to talk more about prophetic ministry. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people give prophetic words that make people feel like crap. And I can tell you now, that is not God. Because God does not want you to feel like crap. And I apologize if that word upsets you. But it frustrates me. And it irritates me that people can wander around, masquerading around, giving what they consider prophetic words that make people feel inadequate, ashamed, not enough. It does not align with the heart and character of who God is. And it won't be God. Got it? So be expectant. Be focused. Active, wanting, eager, hungry. Third, be aware. Listen with intent. This is key. Learn the tone, the texture, and the character of God's voice. Now, the best way I can describe this is if you've had a baby, I know most of you have, some of you haven't yet, but if you've had a baby, it doesn't take long for that baby to recognize the voice of its father, right? It has no idea what dad's saying because it's gobbledock. But when dad speaks, the little baby, and obviously mum as well, they recognize the tone, the texture, and the character of the voice. Would you agree? It's the same with God. We're God's kids, right? God's speaking. And we need to learn the texture, the tone, and the character of God's voice so that we can discern when it is God who's speaking. Which is why I was saying to you before, if it's not loving and empowering and life-giving, it's not the tone and the character of God's voice. So that's one of the criteria, right? It's going to be loving. It's going to make me feel empowered. It might be strong and stern, yes, but I won't feel ashamed or weak. So we need to be aware. We need to tune in and learn what God's voice is going to sound like. You know, in John it says, it's talking about Jesus in his ministry. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, you know, truly I... He says it twice, actually. He says, truly, truly. That's when Jesus wants you to know that, like, this is really true. You know, so it's truly, truly. Truly the truth. Just like, you know, getting his point across. I say to you this, the Son, as in himself, can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. So my conclusion to that is that Jesus has this incredible conversation going on with God the Father all the time. But he's fully human. Isn't he? He's a man, right? And he has this conversation going on all the time. And he's not hearing the audible voice of God, is he? Is he? Well, not that we can see. It's not recorded in Scripture if he is. They hid that from us, which is like a bit rude. So I'm assuming that most of the time Jesus is doing what the Father is doing, seeing what God is up to, is because God is communicating in conversation with him naturally as part of his walk with God the Father. He's not going, Jesus over here. Woo-hoo. Like this big audible voice. But Jesus was aware. He was intently listening to what it is that God was saying to him. He knew the voice of God. You know, in John it says, again, it says Jesus is talking to those that were considering following him, but there was this group that kind of didn't believe. And Jesus says to them, he says, you know, I told you, but you don't believe. Everything I have done has been authorized by my Father. Actions speak louder than words. You don't believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep recognize my voice. I know them, and they know me, and follow me, and I give them real and eternal life. Those that follow Jesus recognize the voice of God. We need to learn the tone and texture and character of his voice, and it's not like any other voice we've heard. It's not like your dad's voice, or your headmaster's voice, or your boss's voice, or your partner's voice. I don't know what your experience has been like, but my experience is this. God's voice sounds like mine. And I'm kind of glad, because if it sounded like Morgan Freeman, or if it sounded something else, I would feel like I was hearing voices and check myself into the loony bin as well. But most of the time, when God speaks to me, it sounds like me. But there's a difference. It doesn't feel like me. The feelings, the senses, the content are different because it's not me. So when God speaks to me, it sounds like my thoughts in Brett's voice. But it doesn't feel like me. When God speaks, I don't get that Brett feeling. I get this other sense that I've learnt over my years of desiring and being hungry to hear God's voice naturally all the time. The last thing is this: be content. The conversation is not for insider information. You know, I think sometimes a lot of that's what our prayer is about. We want inside information. God, just, you know, give me the inside information on the property market. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't give us guidance. God will guide us and give, but he kind of gives us wisdom, and he also gives us a brain to use. And then I think we need to be careful that our going to God to hear God is not about getting inside information so that we can be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Because that's not who God is either. What is God interested in more? Your internal transformation for you to be all that he's called and created you to be. Not to be successful. Not that he has a problem with you being successful. But God's goal is always your relationship with him. Yeah? And I talked a few weeks ago about the idea of prayer being the window of the house. We have this beautiful window that's prayer. And beyond the window is the most amazing, beautiful scenery. And that's God. And God, so often our prayer life becomes about the window. And we're so focused on the window or the prayer that we actually miss what's beyond it. See, the window is there so that we can experience God, so that we can see what's beyond it. Otherwise, it'd be a wall. Yeah? But the window is there to help us see through so we can experience what's beyond it. Prayer's the same. Its goal is your relationship with God, not what you can get out of prayer. And the problem sometimes is when we focus on the window, all we can see is our own reflection. And then the focus of prayer becomes about us. It's not God's heart either. So to me, there is a sense of contentment that I've learned and am learning. Like I'm not like, you know, saying I'm great at all this stuff. You need to understand that. This is a journey for me. But if I am serious and intentional and create space to be still, and I go to God with an expectant heart and am aware that I'm in God's presence and He always has something to say, because that's my belief. So I'm going into the moment with an expectant heart that God wants to speak to me. He will. And regardless of what He says, I'm content. So if He says, I love you, Brett, I'm content. He says that a lot, actually. Sometimes that's all He says. But other times He says other stuff about my life, about my relationships, about the church, about you. Let me pray, huh? Was that helpful? Are you expectant? Are you going to encourage each other to be still? Because I got to say, when God speaks and God begins that journey, that natural conversation, it will change your life. It will change your relationship with God in the same way as it would change your relationship with a natural person. Really? You know what I mean? So if the barrier of conversation gets pushed aside and all of a sudden that conversation becomes a natural, normal, free-flowing, exciting part of that relationship, it would change that relationship. It's the same with your relationship with God. Let me pray. Get the band. We worship ourselves out of here. God, I just thank You that You still love to speak to Your kids. You love to have conversation with Your creation. And I pray, God, that we would be a people that are journeying with that, wrestling with that. You would help us work through maybe some of our unhealthy beliefs or blockages or barriers or fears around hearing the voice of God. God, I thank You that You are gracious and loving, and that regardless, You want to speak in ways that empower and lift us, transform us, and that are life-giving, so that we can be the people that You've called and created us to be, free, alive, passionate, energetic, living the purposes of God out in our day-to-day life. So God, we invite You. And I'm just so grateful, God, You don't give up, that You weren't trying to speak to me, you know, for the first 30 years of my life and I didn't hear You and You just said, okay, I've had enough. I'm so grateful, God, that You persisted with me, and I pray You'd continue to persist with all of us, and that we would create that time in our daily, weekly lives to be still. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you stand? We're going to worship Him. One of the things that I've learned is, apart from in those times of being still and being intentional about hearing God, one of the times I often hear God speak to me is in worship. And the trick for me in that, not the trick as in like
magic trick, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat kind of trick.
No, but the key for me in this is not, we sometimes get so focused on kind of the words and the process, and sometimes it's good just to let go of that, close your eyes, be in the worship, and ask God, something you want to say to them? Is there something on your heart? Go with the first thing that comes into your head. And go with that. You know, sometimes I think we live in this spiritually perfectionist culture where we're waiting, where we're 100% certain that that was God before we do anything about it. No. If you're only 5%, go with that. You know, if it's not outside of the realms of the character of God, like I said before, and it's not some weird and wacky unscriptural idea or thought, just go with the fact that God's speaking to me, even if you've only got 5%. That's better than nothing at all, isn't it? But often I think in our culture, we wait till we've got, when I'm 100% sure, I want to tick all the boxes, align all the ducks. It's not going to happen. Get rid of that perfectionism stuff and go with your heart. Thanks, guys.
Life is life.